Jason, that was one of the more amazing things we've seen covering the Bears. We'll talk about the Bears' 22-16 overtime win against the Packers coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, you ever seen anything like that?
Gosh. I mean, the Bears' comeback, that was... I mean, we just saw it a few days earlier, kind of, with Seattle and the Rams, but that was an incredible finish. You have the Bears down 10 with a little under 6 minutes left in the game. They're still down 7 and need the ball, and they get the field goal, they get the onside kick. It's like a video game. Mm-hmm. They get the field goal, they get the onside kick, they get the touchdown to Jahdae Walker, who I would imagine most of the viewing audience hadn't heard of. A lot of Bears fans probably didn't know who that was because he has not really played in the offense much this year. And what a finish. I mean, Green Bay in overtime is on the fringe of field goal range when they turn the ball over on downs. And to win it that way, to have Caleb Williams launch a 46-yard touchdown pass to DJ Moore running away from Keyshawn Nixon to win it in overtime. 22-16, incredible win for the Bears. Incredible atmosphere at Soldier Field. It has not felt like this at Soldier Field in a long time, probably since the 2019 opener against Green Bay. It was the last time they really had this kind of electricity in the building. And the stakes, it's rare that the stakes are this high for both teams. I mean, both teams truly needed this game, not just to get in the playoffs, but for control of the division. And the Bears right now, Saturday night, Patrick, have a pretty good grip on the NFC North.
They have a 94% chance to make the playoffs as we sit here right now. That changes a little bit if the Lions win. But, yeah, they're the number two seed in the tournament. We're the tournament to start today. They are up a game and a half on the Packers, who have that tie at 9-5-1. And the only way the Bears can finish behind the Packers is if they lose out, the Packers win out. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. And to me, the most astounding part was just how bad the Bears' offense had been until the two-minute warning.
Yeah, and we've said this, but I feel like I've heard you say that before.
They had 3 field goals. Caleb Williams was something like 12 for 24 for 150 yards, something like that. And in his last 10 passes, he was 7 for 10 for 2 touchdowns and 99 yards. Like, he just flipped a switch. And, you know, I asked a couple of different guys today, when this keeps happening like this, do you look around and wonder kind of if you've got a team of destiny situation going on? That may be too trite, but on a night like tonight where we saw a pretty incredible thing, maybe it's not.
Well, you expect it from them, and you are at a point now where you expect it from Caleb Williams. You've seen it too many times to doubt it now. When he's got the ball, when they have a chance, you're just like, I know he's going to find the guys, find the open receivers. And, I mean, he is playing a different game entirely than he was as a rookie. When you talk about the open receivers, Ben Johnson's offense just produces open receivers. Mm-hmm. Whether it's DJ Moore or Roma Dunze on the high end, or whether it is Jahdae Walker at the bottom of your depth chart, or whether it's Caleb Williams, or if you know, a backup quarterback has to play or whatever, there are guys open all the time. And Caleb Williams is also playing a different game in the sense that he has much better protection up front on the offensive line. But, boy, it's got to be a different feeling dropping back and knowing there will be options out there, multiple. There will almost certainly be multiple players open, no matter who's in or out of the lineup. And they didn't have Roma Dunze or Luther Burden on Saturday, and Jahdae Walker's open.
Yeah. I get back to this with Caleb. As bad as he might be, and I thought he was pretty bad for a lot of this game.
He wasn't doing anything.
He wasn't doing anything, and the Packers did a great job of just playing keep away the whole time, even with Malik Willis. And, you know, we're on deadline during the course of the game, Jason, and we're kind of writing as we go. And, you know, at some point I had written that of the two quarterbacks on the field, Caleb Williams was the third best quarterback on the field, because Jordan Love was pretty good until he suffered a concussion in the second quarter, which is a pretty big deal here. And I think the game probably goes a different way if Love plays throughout. but I mean, he just he flipped a switch, and it was it was remarkable. In terms of the Bears' decision to play overtime.
Yeah. Let's
rewind a little.
We'll go through
bit.
A few decisions here at the end if you want.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so Cairo Santos, who was great in bad conditions, just great.
I believe it was 17 degree wind or 17 mile an hour winds with gusts up into the mid 30s.
Yeah.
And we watched the whole time from the press box. I don't know if they showed this for you guys on TV, but the goalposts were wobbling.
Yeah.
All night, like it was some kind of arcade game.
Yeah, it was rocking back and forth. So the Bears get the ball with 5 minutes or so to play. They're down 10. Ben turns to Caleb and says, we got to score with 4 minutes. We got to score before the four-minute mark. They don't do that. They end up kicking a field goal. They have to run the field goal team out, and they do it quickly because they're trying to get the ball to go through the uprights before the two-minute warning starts.
Yeah.
As it turns out,
they had a great opportunity for that. They had about a 20-second window to do that.
Yeah. As it turns out, it doesn't. It goes through at 1:59. So the Bears now, with two timeouts, are down by 7. You've got a decision there. You can choose to kick onside, or you can try and boot it deep, play defense, and know that you're going to get the ball back. If you get a stop, 45 seconds left, something like that. They decide to kick it. They decide to kick it short. Cairo Santos sends kind of a tumbling ball that just gets played pretty poorly by who was it?
Romeo
who muffed
Dobbs.
It? Yeah, by Romeo Dobbs. He kind of could have charged it a little bit, instead let it come to him. Couldn't come up with it. Bears fell on it. And all of a sudden, they are in business with the ball at their own 47. They've got to go 53 yards in about 2 minutes.
And at that time, you know they're going to do it. I mean, you know he's going to do it. Don't you?
Yeah, I mean, and what was fun was, they went all the way down the field only on Caleb Williams' throws. And they got to third down once. And that was by the time that was all the way down at the 6 yard line.
When they end up at fourth.
Yeah, yeah, so it was they had 2 second downs, and on the third second down it goes to third and fourth to 6. He throws incomplete. There was a blitz coming and he just kind of whipped it. I think it hit the crossbar of the goalpost because he was just kind of throwing it away. So that gets us to fourth and 4 at the 6. 28 seconds left. And what do the Packers do, Jason? They just bring the house.
I don't know if they blitzed or or if the guy was just a free runner that just somehow wasn't accounted for. But there is a guy in Caleb Williams' face immediately,
right,
trying to flush him out to the right. And Caleb makes the throw that he has made since we saw him in training, in his first training camp as a rookie. And you saw him do this at USC, where he can have one toe on the ground and be leaning to his right and throw that ball with absolute precision to Jahdae Walker, getting it to him in a place where he had plenty of room to get both feet down for the touchdown. I was going to say tying touchdown, but that puts it at 16-15. And now you're at another decision point, which I was eagerly awaiting, because as soon as you saw that this was potentially coming up, I thought back to 2 weeks ago in Green Bay, Ben Johnson saying, kind of increasingly strongly, that he would have gone for two. It kind of started with the night of the game, saying it was on the table, and then it progressed to basically him saying he would have gone for two.
Right.
And it is easy to say. It's much harder to do when you actually have the decision in front of you. And he had the decision in front of him Saturday night to go for two and effectively end the game or play for overtime. And his explanation for this afterward, did you hear this? Were you in there?
No,
for this?
I was not.
His explanation for this afterward is that the chances of converting a two-point conversion are under 50%. The chances of them beating Green Bay in overtime, he felt, were above 50%. So that was the play based on that math, to kick the field, kick the extra point, go to overtime against Malik Willis.
Mm-hmm. That's a very important detail. And I mean, the other thing too is when the Packers got the ball back, there were 24 seconds left in the game. The way that kickoffs and kick returns have gone this season, even if you make the two-point conversion, there's a non-zero chance that the other team can march and kick a field goal.
Yeah, there's no telling what could have happened. Yeah.
If there was,
they did drop back, and Montez Sweat was back there immediately and dropped Malik Willis for a sack, and Matt LaFleur just bailed.
Was that the only sack of the game in which the Bears didn't hit the opposing quarterback with their helmet?
There were a lot of... That was another thing Ben Johnson hit. Ben Johnson has done such a good job, and then we'll get back to the rest of the sequence. Such a good job this season of being very, very objective about the Bears. Ben Johnson is covering the Bears the way we would cover them, right, the way we cover the Bears. He's sitting there saying, here's some things that were good. Here's a lot of things that are really kind of troubling tonight. And most of all, some of these avoidable penalties, personal fouls, things like that. And you cannot, as he said, be giving away 15 yards at a time on a night like this where it's hard for anybody to get any yards. You can't just be handing out 15 yards.
And Ben post-game, I've found at least this year that he's the inverse of whatever he's just been in the locker room. Yes. So I haven't seen the video yet, but I'm sure, I mean,
it was insane.
Maybe the most sober he's been about a game they've won came 5 minutes after he ripped off his shirt in Philadelphia, and none of us knew it until we saw the video afterwards. Yeah, he's done a good job of looking at it appropriately. And you have to wonder whether his attitude is what's carrying them through in these moments. It certainly is helping.
Well, he came in so different than... We'll just compare him only to the previous coach, Matt Eberflus. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ben Johnson came in guns blazing. Mm-hmm. Taking aim at everybody, Matt LaFleur, Kevin O'Connell, Dan Campbell. And Ben Johnson has just brought this energy from the beginning of there's high standards and total accountability. And if we and we can, in my offense with this talent, we can do anything. And he believes that.
Yeah.
And I think you hit a point where the whole team believes that.
That's the thing about confidence is, you know, whether you believe in yourself or you're not, you're right. And the Bears certainly show this. So they go overtime. They go to overtime. There's a coin flip. The Bears win it, and they do what we've seen a lot of teams do. In this, now that the overtime rule has changed,
it's a smart move.
Yeah, which is you let the other team take the ball
because then you know what you need.
Yeah, then you know what you need, and you know sometimes there's a risk there of you're putting your own exhausted defense back out on the field. But the Bears had really held the ball on offense for the entire last 6 minutes of the game, so they send their defense out there. It's third and the Packers are moving. It's third and one at the 36 going in. Malik Willis scrambles and is sacked for no gain. We go to fourth down. Willis fumbles the ball, and that gives the Bears possession, and then they're good to go. A play that I think will get overlooked tonight, third and three, the Bears' third play of that drive at their own 43.
Going in overtime?
Yeah. Hand off to Kyle Manungai.
Of course, you think that's the play that's overlooked.
He gets 11 yards at a time where you know, you're wondering whether the Bears – I mean, how about this? I mean, it's first down at 36. Caleb throws incomplete. Second and 10 in overtime. They go – Swift run for 7.
Yeah.
Manungai run for 11. And that sets up a play action pass that is believable only because they've just run the ball twice for a lot of yards.
Well, and the back-to-back runs for 18 yards, it was significant. It puts them in field goal range. It puts them at midfield.
Put them at the 46. Yep.
All they need is a field goal at that point because Green Bay's already had possession. So those two runs really gave the Bears so much leverage. There's a lot of time left now. You don't have to worry about that. You've shown you don't have any problem running the ball and that you can do it effectively. And you've got a lot that you've put in the minds of the Green Bay defense.
If Caleb doesn't make just a wonderful throw to win the game there. I mean, as the ball's in the air, I think my first reaction was, why in the world are you throwing that? Like, you know, they needed 15 yards to have a chance to win the game with a field goal. And this, I think, was a riskier play than getting 15 yards would have been at some point. But, man, it's one of the more special things I've seen here.
Ben Johnson brings so many things to the table that have been evident over the last 11 months and specifically during the season. But as just an offensive strategist, I don't know if anybody's better.
Yeah.
In the league.
The Bears' leading receivers tonight beside DJ Moore. You ready? Kyle Manungai, Colston Loveland, Alamide Zaccheaus, Jahdae Walker, Cole Kmet, DeAndre Swift. He's, Komet said this after the game, is that Ben is so good. It seems like every game there's a different receiver whose turn it is to do it, and that's a reflection of Ben's game planning more than it is anything else. Caleb actually said something after the game that I don't think we've heard him say before. He's usually complimentary of Ben, or Coach Johnson, as he started calling him halfway through the season. But he said, "I've got the best coach in the world." And I don't – have you ever heard that sort of praise from him?
No, I haven't. What I find interesting when he speaks highly of Ben Johnson is, I mean, almost any quarterback, any player is going to say the right thing about their coach.
Right.
Caleb Williams has consistently raved about Ben Johnson, and you need to remember when you hear that Ben Johnson has been riding him. Ben Johnson has coached him so hard, mm-hmm. has been on him about every mistake,
mm-hmm.
and he's sitting here telling you, I love playing for this coach, because Caleb knows that this is what it takes,
mm-hmm.
that this is how you need to be coached to make it in the NFL. He knows that this is a coach who has expertise in the way that Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron never did.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that this makes him better. This gets him where he wants to be as a player. So even if it's not fun, it's totally worth it.
We were talking to DJ on Thursday, locker room. And he was talking about just Ben just being... DJ likes to talk about Ben being a hard ass at all times. And he talked about that. But he had a great line today, which was, he said that it was like Virginia was looking down on them and that Ben was riding their asses.
That's the secret. That's the secret equation to all these wins.
Is Ben riding their asses or Virginia looking
down? Both. The combination is the equation.
See, I think it's just no alternate uniforms. I think that's what's doing it for them. Defensively, Jason, Malik Willis... Geez, Malik Willis finished with a passer rating of 142.8. He also ran for 44 yards. Wasn't the best showing by the defense. C.J. Gardner-Johnson also...
The Bears defense.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson also left with a knee injury, and he was ruled doubtful pretty quickly, which is not something they do unless it's a serious injury. So we'll see on that, but boy, I feel like you didn't feel the defense really at all, except for Nashawn Wright ripping the ball away from Josh Jacobs in the third quarter down at the goal line. It felt a lot like the tush push play in Philadelphia, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Nashawn Wright has been just an incredible find for them and has, what, 4 or 5 interceptions this year and a couple of forced fumbles now at key moments. This is a guy that two teams have passed on recently.
Mm-hmm.
Two teams were just fine to let leave. The Cowboys and the Vikings had really no interest in Nashawn Wright. And Dennis Allen brings him to Chicago because Al Harris spoke mm-hmm. up for him, his mm-hmm. former position coach in Dallas, said this guy really is good. And he very quickly latched on to one of those starting jobs, and he is, without stipulation, he's their starter now ahead of Tyreek Stevenson. He's eclipsed Tyreek Stevenson are overtaking him on the depth chart.
And it's weird. They'd rather eat into Jalen Johnson's playing time, I mean, in part because of the injury, than they would mess with Nashawn Wright's playing time.
Yeah, he's just been so good. He's had such a knack for he's had a lot of ups and downs, but kind of like the way Caleb has been, Nashawn Wright has made the big plays when they've needed him.
Tremaine Edmonds came back. I believe he had a fumble recovery, didn't he? Played okay, and you wrote this, I think, for the paper. This is as good as this bear. This is as whole as this defense is going to be.
Yeah, you're missing Dio, who's out for the year, and you're missing Kyler Gordon, who could come back if he's healthy enough for a playoff game.
Didn't you and I see him carrying a bag of things the other day in the locker room?
Yeah, but it could have been a Christmas present.
Yeah, right.
You and I.
I mean, he's around. I mean, he's around. I don't want to say he's moving out. He's around.
It was just kind of one of those funny moments where Patrick and I were standing in the locker room, and I think when they said he was going on IR, and then we saw him later that day we're standing in the locker room, he's walking out of the locker room with a box, like the kind of box you would pack up if you got fired from your job.
If you got laid off or something, yeah, right.
It might have just been a Christmas present or something he was carrying out.
Yeah.
But anyway, the other nine guys, I mean, you have nine of your 11 starters intact. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good for week 16 of the NFL season, especially when one of your replacements is C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who's playing well. Now, I don't know if they're going to have him after this knee injury. But actually, you know, Pat, they've been they're pretty deep at nickel corner because Nick McLeod was working as their starter.
They like him. They like Tyler him a Warden lot.
Yeah. Dennis Allen is a big fan of Nick McLeod. He was ahead of Josh Blackwell at nickel.
Yeah, I think there's, like you said, almost maybe a parallel to the offense a little bit too, that, you know, when things are going right, kind of whoever you throw in there kind of keeps it going. And that's what we saw today. Jason, if the Lions lose, as you and I sit here very late, well, technically it's Sunday morning, 12:10 a.m. If the Lions lose on Sunday to the Steelers, the Bears are in the playoffs.
If they lose the rest of the year.
Yeah. They, yeah.
Any Lions loss or tie ends that.
I think a tie would be good. I think we need more ties. Anyway,
you wish tonight would have ended in a tie?
No, absolutely not. No, we have newspaper deadlines. Is there anything we've talked for a month about how what's great about the schedule is the Bears have everything in front of them and they have real obstacles in front of them, good teams. Does tonight change the way you look at what we should expect the last 2 weeks of the season in San Francisco next week and then at home for a game against the Lions that may mean everything and may not?
I just think in general you've seen enough this season, whether you're talking about the next 2 weeks against San Francisco and Detroit, or you're talking about whoever they draw in the playoffs, which, again, right now would be Green Bay in Chicago. Who are you putting out there and saying, well, the Bears just couldn't do that? The Bears just wouldn't be able to beat fill in the blank.
I don't know.
They'd be an underdog against a lot of teams, especially if they were on the road. But I just don't see a game where you have them going against anybody and you're saying, well, you know, it's like Tulane going into Ole Miss on Saturday where you're like, well, it's fun to be there. You know, it's nice, but you have no chance. It's just not going to be like that for the Bears against anybody because you've seen them do this to basically everyone on their schedule. I mean, there has not been a game after those first two where they've been just lifeless.
Do you know what'll be a fun discussion a week from now, Jason? I think I'd rather lose in the last – if assuming they're in the playoffs – assuming they're in. Is there any way that they can drop down to 3 or 4 and go play one of these middling... No, I guess they wouldn't, right?
What they would need for what you're thinking is to end up in the 5 seed and get to play Tampa or Carolina.
Yeah, and to get into essentially weasel out of having to play the Packers the third time. Whether it's here or there. And, I mean, obviously you like their chances better at home. And maybe there's not. Maybe that's threading a needle that doesn't exist. But, yeah, we'll see. As we are sitting here right now, the 49ers, who are their opponent on Sunday Night Football, they are 99% to make the – or 98% to make the tournament per NFL Next Gen Stats, 95 if they lose. So they're going to be in either way, it appears. But, boy, they have something to play for, too. They're trying to chase down both the Rams and the Seahawks in the NFC West.
I remember when the schedule came out, Patrick, and that was – that's the only Sunday night game for the Bears, right, all year?
Sunday night, yes.
Yeah, that's their only game on Sunday Night Football, which is the premier game every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing, wow, that's odd. Late season at San Francisco. You have no idea what that game will be at the time. Is San Francisco going to be good? I don't know. Are the Bears going to be still in the hunt at that point? I don't know. And it ended up being perfect. You have landed in a game that both teams are very good and both teams need. That is an excellent, excellent Week 17 Sunday Night Football game.
I think I know I did that when the schedule came out. I made a little note that said could be flexed. Like
yes, yeah,
like yeah.
Because you don't know what either of those teams is going to be, and they both turn out to be pretty strong. And that's a great. That's another team they could end up playing if they in the first round of the playoffs if the Bears hold the number 2 seed.
Real quick, the atmosphere tonight. Does this compare to, I mean, you got on the beat after 2018 and the 2020 team that we covered that made the playoffs barely was during COVID where they never played in front of more than a couple thousand people. Was this as intense of a situation as you've covered here?
Yeah, for sure. The 2019 season opener against Green Bay coming that was, off that it was great pretty 2018 great, yeah. season was an incredible atmosphere. Monday Night Football to kick off this season, great atmosphere. And the Bears fans make it a great atmosphere a lot of times, home or road.
Right.
Just every stadium we've been to in the entire league for a Bears road game, you've seen such a strong turnout from Bears fans, especially in the vacation cities like Vegas or Miami or New Orleans. But yeah, this was right there with the 2019 opener. This was just such a great atmosphere. And it goes back to what I said earlier. It was both teams late in the season really doing well and really high stakes for both sides.
Matt Nagy wore George Halas's fedora into the game. That's the thing I remember from that game. Yeah, it was something. Jason, we will get some sleep, I guess, and be back at it later this week for game prep for the 49ers. Until then, people can follow you and I on social media. They can check us out at the SunTimes website or app on your phone. And if you live in town, I think Sunday is probably a pretty good day to buy a paper. He's Jason, I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.